Lecture topic, Halima Sadia, may the Almighty be pleased with her, part 1.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wal aqibatu lil muttaqeen, was salatu was salamu ala al mab'uuthi rahmatan lil alameen, wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man walahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. Faqad qala jalla wa ala fi kitabihi al majid wa furqanihi al hamid, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم أنا وكافل اليتيم في الجنة هكذا Awkama qala alayhi salatu wassalam. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, and our listeners, amongst the many people on whose life the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had a profound impact, which history has well documented, but unfortunately you and I have not adequately familiarized ourselves with, has been the nursing mother of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That very woman which the author writes, فَمِنْ ثَدْيَيْهَا أَطَّاهِرَيْنَ رَضَعَ الْغُلَامُ السَّعِيدُ مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ وَسَلَامُهُ عَلَيْهِ, whose fortune cannot be captured in the language, in any particular language, that it was from her blessed chest that the noblest human, the greatest man, was suckled and nursed. عَزِيزَةٌ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مُؤْمِنٍ أَثِيرَةٌ لَدَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ, a woman who enjoys dignity and respect and enjoys a special position in the heart and the mind of every believer. إِنَّهَا السَّيِّدَةُ الْجَلِيلَةُ حَلِيمَةُ السَّعْدِيَةُ أُمُّ نَبِيِّنَا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنَ الرَّضَاءِ. I am referring to none other than Halima from the tribe of Banu Sa'd, who is the nursing mother of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Just to refresh your memory, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born, and at that time obviously his father was late, so he was born as an orphan. As I recited the verse of the Quran, أَلَمْ يَجِدَكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, did we not find you as an orphan and we sheltered you? When the news of the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was brought to his uncle Abu Lahab by his slave girl Thuwaybah, Thuwaybah came to her master Abu Lahab, who was the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and said, glad tidings, a son has been born in the house of your late brother Abdullah. He was ecstatic, he was elated, he was overwhelmed with joy. And he said, because of conveying the good news to me, Thuwaybah, I liberate you. And he liberated his slave. Obviously things turned differently when this lad grew up and he became the greatest Nabi. And unfortunately, tragically, this very uncle who rejoiced on the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam vehemently opposed the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And hence the Quran said, تَبَّتْ يَدَا أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبْ مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُ مَالُهُ وَمَا كَسَبْ, that may the hands of Abu Lahab be perished and may he be destroyed. مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُ مَالُهُ وَمَا كَسَبْ, his wealth and his expertise did not avail him. سَيَصْلَى نَارًا ذَاتَ لَهَبٍ, soon he will enter into a flame that will be raging. He was known as Abu Lahab. Lahab in Arabic literally means flame. He was very impressive in his looks, fair in his complexion, with a twinge of redness on his cheeks, which was taken as absolute beauty. So the reason is Abu Lahab, the father of flames, meaning the redness on his cheeks. The Quran referred to him as Abu Lahab, referring to the torment in Akhirah. That is why it is mentioned in Bidayah wa Nihaya that after the death of Abu Lahab, Ibn Abbas seen radiallahu anhu Abu Lahab in a dream in a very bad condition. So he asked him, Abu Lahab, how are you faring before Allah? He says, I am really in a crisis. However, on the fact that I liberated Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I liberated my slave girl for conveying the news to me on the birth of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because of that, on every Monday there is some form of adjustment to the torment and there is some concession because I rejoiced on the news of the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And one narration suggests that he pointed with his finger. He pointed with his finger to his slave girl and he said, I free you. And he said, because my index finger was used, and this is mentioned in authentic narrations, my index finger was used to point to the liberation of my slave girl. Simply because she echoed the sentiments of the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I receive so much water which is soothing and cooling to me in Jahannam, and it quenches my thirst in proportion to that, which is obviously very minute and very minimal, but nonetheless, this is the benefit that I'm getting in hell because I rejoiced on the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now this very woman, Thuwaiba, the first 4 days, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was suckled by his own mother, Amina radiallahu anha. After the 4th day, it was this woman, Thuwaiba, that suckled the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he suckled her for 4 days, up to the 8th day. The scholars of hadith have debated if she accepted Islam or not, the preferred verdict being that she accepted Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam maintained good ties with her, to the extent that when he went to Medina also, he used to send gifts for her. When he came back to Makkah, he inquired, where is that woman that suckled me for 4 days? Now you know and I know and I can tell you how many sisters have cried. And I don't want to go down that road at this time. But suffice to say that the young man of today has abandoned his biological mother. When my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam takes into cognizance the sentiments and respect and loyalty to a woman who had not nursed him for the entire 2 years, for a woman not that had conceived him and delivered him, but for a woman that featured to him as a mother for only 4 days. A woman that featured as a mother in his life for only 4 days. When he came back after the conquest of Makkah, he said, where is that woman Thuwaiba who nursed me for 4 days? They said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she has passed away. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, is there any family member of hers alive through whom we can maintain loyalty and good ties in acknowledgement of her to me? On the 8th day, it was customary amongst the Arabs that the child would be sent to the outside localities, wherein the language was preserved, the culture was better, the milk of those women was better because living the simple basic life. So it happens to coincide at that very moment where this woman by the name of Halima Saadiya, she said, let me narrate my fortune to you. Let me narrate my tale to you. Kharajtu min manazilina. I left my house. Ana wa zawji. Myself, my husband. وَإِبْنٌ لَنَا صَغِيرٌ and a little child that we had. Her husband's name was Harith, but he was better known as Abu Kabasha. Abu Kabasha. And her son's name was Abdullah. And she had another daughter by the name of Shima, which was 5 years old, and that's the foster sister of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Shima remained at home. She says, I took my little lad, that is Abdullah, my husband Harith, who was known as Abu Kabasha. Those that are familiar with hadith, and unfortunately by and large we are not, in the very first chapter of Bukhari Sharif on page 4, there is an incident mentioned there when Abu Sufyan was summoned in the court of Heraclius, and then he posed certain questions regarding the prophethood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At that time Abu Sufyan was not a Muslim, because he was from Makkah, he was from the Quraysh, so he spoke on behalf of what he knew about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The polytheists of that time believed that Islam will remain within Arabia. It will not journey beyond the borders of Arabia. He was alarmed and shocked to know that the king here, and in particular Hiraql, had received a letter, and he also was contemplating accepting the faith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he answered in loyalty to the questions that were posed to him. But when he came out of the court, he uttered a statement that is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. He said, لَقَدْ أَمِرَ أَمْرُ بْنُ أَبِي كَبْشَ إِنَّهُ يَخَافُهُ مَلِكُ بَنِي الْأَصْفَرِ. Really the fate of the son of Abu Kabsha. That's how he made reference to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He did not say Muhammad. He did not say Abu al-Qasim. Abu al-Qasim was one of the names of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because Qasim was his son. So he was referred, and is referred to in the hadith as Muhammad, as Ahmad, as Mahi, as Hashir, as Aqib, as Taha, as many other names. But he's also referred to as Abu Kabsha. And in the footnotes of Bukhari, this explanation is given that Abu Kabsha was the husband of Halima radiallahu anha. Nonetheless, she says, we left. Myself, my husband, and my little child. وَكَانَ نِسْوَةٌ مِّن قَوْمِي قَدْ خَرَجْنَا لِمِثْلِ مَا خَرَجْتُ إِلَيْهِ. And I wasn't the only person that left from my tribe. Now, we many of us go to Makkah, but unfortunately we are not familiar with Islamic history. The location where she was based which forms the infancy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his early childhood, is where we better know it as Hudaybiyah. This is approximately 10 miles from Jeddah and about 30 miles from Makkah, and currently it is known as a location called Shumaysiyah. If a person is familiar, we tend to drive past there, you will see a lot of petrol pumps in that location. This is the surroundings where the mother of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nursing mother, lived, and this is where the greatest human spent his infancy. Shumaysiyah, this is the location. So she said, we left. And there was a delegation and there was a group of women. Together we left. We were on a search for infants to suckle children. We would come out, we would get some remuneration, some rewards. And this was the exchange that we had. She says, وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ فِي سَنَةٍ قَاحِلَةٍ مُجِدِبَةٍ. Let me remind you, the year when I left, the time when I left, that was obviously the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which historians refer to as the year of the elephants. Now, again, to refresh your memory, and again, it's sad that we don't follow this. If only every one of us were on the same page with the history of Islam, I could only just touch on it, make reference to this, and we all could understand it. Scholars say the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born approximately 55 days after the incident of the elephants that had happened, where Abraha came with his massive army to destroy the Kaaba, which we read in Surah Al-Fil. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ. Have you not seen how your Lord dealt with the people of the elephants? أَلَمْ يَجَعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلِ. Where Allah caused and crushed their plots and their planning. وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلِ. And Allah sent flocks of birds. So she say this was a year of absolute drought and famine. أَيْبَسَتِ الزَّرْعَ وَأَهْلَكَتِ الضَّرْعَ. I want you to follow my pattern of thoughts. And I want you to understand, my brother, what was the plight of this woman before she met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was a crisis in her life on every front. In essence, nothing in her life was right. And after she met my Nabi, not as a Nabi as in 40, as a baby and an infant, instantly her life changed, nay, her destiny changed. And that's my message. I'm inundated with calls, social calls, problems with the wife, with the children, with the business. We have a host of challenges. The pious predecessors had a common principle. Man aslaha fima baynahu wa bayna rabbihi, aslaha Allahu fima baynahu wa bayna khalqi. You sort your relation with Allah, Allah will sort your relation with His creation. So you have a problem with your wife, don't engage it directly. I'm engaging it, you engaging it, we're still not making headway. Solve your problem with Allah and He will solve it between you and your wife, between you and your child, between you and your boss, and the likes can continue. She says there was a drought and famine. There was no harvest, there was no milk left in the udders of the animals. أَيْبَسَتِ الزَّرْعَ وَأَهْلَكَتِ الزَّرْعَ فَلَمْ تُبْقِ لَنَا شَيْئًا وَكَانَ مَعَنَا دَابَّتَانِ عَجَفَاوَانِ مُسِنَّتَانِ لَا تَرْشَحَانِ بِقَطْرَةٍ مِّن لَبَنٍ. We own two animals, two conveyance, lean, thin, weak. One was a camel, one was a donkey. We barely could get a drop of milk from the camel. مُسِنَّتَانِ, they were aged. Ajafawani, they were thin, they were lean, they were weak. Now one is there is an economic crisis. You know, just recently I was gone to Mozambique for a program. And I don't need to mention the extent of the pothole. Someone said it, you feel it in the air. Leave alone on the road. That is the extent how bad the roads are. However, if a person has an adequate vehicle and he has a nice 4x4, it doesn't change the road, but it definitely changes the drive. There is a smooth drive. So one is there is an economic crisis, but in your individual capacity, you are somehow stable and affluent. It to a degree makes things easy. I was in Zimbabwe recently for a program. We know the lights trip every day. There was a brother who invited me. He has, I cannot tell you how many generators in his house. So when the lights trip, it doesn't make a difference to him. Now if you look at the condition of Halima, there is an economic crisis, there is drought and famine. Her personal capacity and her personal condition is such, there is no food, there is no drinks, and the animal she owns, she says, is thin, lean, weak. So she's not driving a 4x4 in present day terminology. She says, رَكِبْتُ أَنَا وَغُلَامِي الصَّغِيرِ إِحْدَاهُمَا. My son and myself, we mounted onto the donkey. وَأَمَّا زَوْجِي فَرَكِبَ الْأُخْرَى. My husband mounted onto the camel. وَكَانَتْ نَاقَتُ, I'm quoting the words. وَكَانَتْ نَاقَتُهُ أكبر سنا وأشد هزالا. The camel of my husband was thin, was lean, and was older than our mule and our donkey. Nonetheless, in this way we left. The other woman coming from an affluent background, moving in good conveyance, you know, moving in a better mode of transport, more affluent, more stable. We were the poorest in the entire group. We were the weakest in the entire group. وَكُنَّا وَاللَّهِ مَا نَنَامُ لَحْظَةً فِي لَيْلِنَا كُلِّهِ لِشِدَّةِ بُكَاءِ طِفْلِنَا مِنَ الْجُوعِ إِذْ لَمْ يَكُنْ فِي ثَدْيِ مَا يُغْنِيهِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ فِي ذِرْعِ نَاقَتِنَا مَا يُغَذِّيهِ. To compound the problem, to add salt to injury, my child, because of excessive hunger, could not sleep. And he cried throughout the entire duration. Now I know, many of us here, alhamdulillah, travel business class. Averagely, I travel economy. Sometimes the brothers promote it, and alhamdulillah, we travel business class. You're traveling in absolute comfort. One child that can be crying and can be irritable can make an entire pleasant flight miserable. Miserable. You know that you can forget about the comfort of flying in business class. Here you are, not even economy. You are moving on a simple, basic mode of transport. It's not a strange child, it's your child. The reason for the child crying is hunger. The hunger of your child is more painful than yourself. Then she says, إِذْ لَمْ يَكُنْ فِي ثَدْيِ مَا يُغْنِيهِ. There was nothing in my chest to soothe this child. There was nothing in the udders of the camel to nourish this child. And this way we are moving. وَلَقَدْ أَبْطَعْنَا بِالرَّكْبِ بِسَبَبِ هُزَالِ أَتَانِنَا. And because of our delay, our sluggish conveyance, the other members of our tribe felt offended. And they said, you know what, Halima, you and your husband, you can come along yourself. Really, you are making it difficult for us. We've got to resume and we are going to leave you. So she said, we were then marginalized from the entire group and we were single out. We had nothing, no choice. My child is sick, no milk in my chest, no milk in the udders of the camel. My husband owns nothing. In the slow manner, in the sluggish manner we are moving. Again, I'm harping on the crisis in the life of this woman. You might tell me there's a financial crisis in your life. There's a social crisis. There's a general political crisis. Just I want you to absorb the picture of what this woman is going through. She says after much delay, 30 odd miles, as I mentioned from Shumaysiya, they make their way to Makkah. فَلَمَّا بَلَغْنَا مَكَّةَ. When finally, after many days, we reach Makkah. وَبَحَثْنَا عَنِ الرُّضَعَى. And we start our search for children. Now, it's not like today, just Google it. You know, just Google it. Go onto this website. So when you get there, all measures are in place. Everything is online. It's confirmed. We've done internet bookings, transfers. Everything is found. There's no Google in it. When we arrived at Makkah, بَحَثْنَا عَنِ الرُّضَعَى. We started our search for infants, for children. وَقَعْتُ فِي أَمْرٍ لَمْ يَكُنْ بِالْحُسْبَانِ. Halima says, I was gripped in a crisis I least anticipated, hence I did not prepare for it. وَذَلِكَ أَنَّهُ لَمْ تَبْقَ إِمْرَأَةٌ إِلَّا وَعُرِضَ عَلَيْهَا الْغُلَامُ الصَّغِيرُ مُحَمَّدُ بْنُ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ وَسَلَامُهُ عَلَيْهِ. While we all stood there from the same tribe, there was a little child by the name of Muhammad, whose father was Abdullah and he was late. And this child was presented and rotated to every one of us that this is an infant, he's 8 days old, he has no father, his mother is Amina, he belongs to the Quraysh, his grandfather is Abdul Muttalib. We would like if somebody would nurse him. Halima said, فَكُنَّا نَأْبَاهُ لِأَنَّهُ يَتِيمُ وَكُنَّا نَقُولُ مَا عَسَىٰ أَن تَنْفَعَنَا أُمُّ صَبِيٍّ لَا أَبَ لَهُ. We all very politely declined. And we said, really, taking this child has no future. Show us another child. We don't want this child. Now, my brother, before I progress, let me interject and remind you, today my Nabi is not an orphan, but his deen has definitely been orphaned. And the deen has also been rotated and circulated. And the deen is also knocking your door. And my sister will say, what will this modesty do to my religion? And my brother will say, what will the prohibition of interest do to my business? So just as my Nabi was rotated and circulated, and some frowned and others declined, That is the condition that we are adopting today with the deen of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Inna deena bada'a gharib." My religion started as an orphan, as strange, as peculiar, as uncommon. وَسَيَعُودُ كَمَا بَدَأَ. And prior to Qiyamah, again it will become strange, unusual, peculiar. People will frown upon it. فَطُوبَا لِلْغُرَبَا. But when my religion becomes strange, then glad tidings to the strangers. Who are the strangers? Those that embrace it. So Halima said, وَكُنَّا نَقُلْ مَا عَسَىٰ أَن تَنْفَعَنَا أُمُّ صَبِيٍّ لَا أَبَ لَهُ. There's no future in picking up a child who has no father. وَمَا عَسَىٰ أَن يَصْنَعَ لَنَا جَدُّهُ. And if his grandfather also gives us, how much will he give us? So everybody very politely put the baby down, not interested. Show me something else. She said, ثُمَّ إِنَّهُ لَمْ يَمْضِ عَلَيْنَا غَيْرُ يَوْمَيْنَ حَتَّى ظَفِرَتْ كُلُّ مْرَأَةٍ مِنَّا بِوَاحِدٍ مِنَ الرُّضَعَىٰ. Barely 2 days had lapsed, and the next morning, the third morning, every woman had a bouncing baby in her hand. And you know, women as it is, when they got something good, then they need to make it known. So I got a beautiful child from an affluent family, let me see your child, and you know, with a degree of achievement, pride, that I got my baby. Everyone from the tribe had their baby. Documents were finalized, finances were agreed, the tribe was identified, all measures were in place, I'm sitting single without a child. فَلَمَّا أَزْمَعْنَا الرَّحِيلِ. It's time to return. They said, come Halima, we're going back. So until this point, nothing taking shape in the life of this woman. فَلَمَّا أَزْمَعْنَا الرَّحِيلِ. When it's time to return, قُلْتُ لِزَوْجِي. I tapped my husband Abu Kabsha, and I said, إِنِّي لَأَكْرَهُ أَنْ أَرْجِعَ إِلَى مَنَازِلِنَا وَأَلْقَى بَنِي قَوْمِنَا خَاوِيَةَ الْوِفَاضِ دُونَ أَنْ أَخُذَ رَضِيعًا فَلَيْسَ فِي صُوَيْحِبَاتِ إِمْرَأَةٌ إِلَّا وَمَعَهَا رَضِيعٌ. Listen, my husband, I don't have a heart to go back to our community without a child. I don't know خَاوِيَةَ الْوِفَاضِ كِنَايَةٌ عَنِ الْإِفْلَاسِ التَّامِ وَعَنِ الْحَاجَةِ الشَّدِيدَةِ. We are in a problem and in a dilemma, in a crisis. But now everybody else has a child. Again, if I don't have a child, I don't know how society will stigmatize me. وَاللَّهِ لَأَذْهَبَنَّ إِلَىٰ ذَلِكَ الْيَتِيمِ وَلَا أَخُذَنَّهُ. If you agree, my husband, let's go look at that orphan Muhammad again. And I think we make bismillah, we pick him up. Nobody wants to take him, let we take the step and pick him up. This is where the destiny of this woman changed. This is where history turned differently, my brother. Understand? My Nabi is a child. He's an infant. He's not a Nabi. Imagine if you take his teachings now when the world has marginalized it, what won't Allah give you? She says, I bounced it off my husband. He said, La ba'sa alayk. Asa an yaj'al Allahu lana khayran kathira. Let's try our luck. Perhaps we strike good. And maybe this is where, you know, things will work out better for us. Now, something I may remind you at this point very politely, that when she echoed the sentiments to her husband supported the mission. And the husband said, let's go for this child. Let's go for him. You look, in contrast to that was Sayyidina Musa. When he came in the river Nile, تَلْعَبُ بِهِ أَمْوَاجُ النِّيلِ. When the waves of the water were playing very calmly with this box in which Sayyidina Musa was floating. And وَكَانَ فِرْعَوْنُ يَتَنَزَّهُ عَلَىٰ شَاطِئِ النِّيلِ. Fir'aun would recline on the river bank, and he spotted this and he said, إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الصُّنْدُوقُ. What is that box that is floating very calmly in the water? Bring it. So when the box was brought, and it was open, and inside was Sayyidina Musa, which the Quran said, وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِنِّي وَلِتُصْنَعَ عَلَىٰ عَيْنِي. And O Musa, as a protective measure, I had not surrounded you with angels, but I had cast my beauty on you, that anybody looking at you was obsessed and gripped and taken by your beauty, and hence loving someone is an obstacle to harming that person. Now an ordinary child, nay the child of your enemy, looks innocent. Can you imagine the innocence on the face of a Nabi, whose innocence doesn't end at puberty but remains forever? Yeah, he looks innocent now, and Allah forbid when he grows up, that very innocent person becomes a monster. That very child who was innocent, but that sweet young little child, what he grows up, wicked, arrogant, monster. A Nabi is innocent from birth till he dies. So you can imagine the innocence. Musa, Fir'aun looked at this. And Asiya looked. And there was a moment of silence. What did the wife of Pharaoh say? She said, لَا تَقْتُلُوا عَسَىٰ أَن يَنْفَعَنَا أَوْ نَتَّخِذَهُ وَلَدًا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Listen, let's adopt the son. Maybe he will grow up and benefit us. Now don't trivialize a statement you make. Pharaoh said, maybe he'll benefit you, but not me. Scholars write, it was this very contradicting statements of wife and husband. Wife, affirmative. Husband in the negative, that this child grew up to become Moses, the great prophet of Allah. And he influenced this woman positively in such a manner that the Quran said, إِذْ قَالَتِ امْرَأَةُ فِرْعَوْنَ رَبِّ بْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Allah brought that day that this child benefited this woman. And this man who declined and said he won't benefit me, he remained deprived of the message of Musa. He remained deprived of the message of Musa. Yeah, when Halima said, let's pick the child up, the sentiments were common. The husband did not say, maybe you'll get luck, I won't. He said, let's go for it, my wife, I'm with you. One riwayat of Sirat Mustafa, he said, Allah will give us barakat. Now what is barakat? Al-asbabul qaleela. Al-manafi'ul kathira bi-asbabil qaleela. Maximum benefit with minimum provisions. Which doesn't feature on the radar of the marketing world today, because logically speaking, it's non-existent. It cannot possibly happen. With minimum provisions, how can you get maximum, with minimum provisions, how can you get maximum benefit? It's unheard of. It's inconceivable. Anyway, they go. They come to the mother. What a mother. Allahu Akbar. Amina radiyallahu anha. And they then negotiate with her and they ask of this mother, can we take your little child? She agrees. She agrees, and Halima then picks up the greatest human. I'm reading this and tears came into my eyes. I said, Ya Allah, may our parents be sacrificed for you, Halima. Your privilege, your honor, your status, your recognition. I don't have the vocabulary in any language that I speak or I know to possibly capture your honor. Imagine putting in your hands the greatest human that ever existed on the face of earth. She says, I picked up this child. I picked up this child, and at that time, wallahi ma hamalani ala akhdihi illa anni lam ajid ghulaman siwa. I picked him up, not very happily, but because I found no other child. I found no one else, the only child available. I said, let me take him. And I was optimistic that things will open up. This is where it turns. She says, I picked him up. Wada'tu bihi fi hijri. I placed him on my lap. Raja'tu bihi ila rahli. I returned to the camp. Now I'm thinking to myself, there isn't milk in my chest. My poor child is suffering. Here I bring in a strange child, somebody else's child. What is going to happen? Nonetheless, alqamtuhu thadi. I latched him onto my chest. Halima says, don't ask me what happened and from where it happened. Fadarra alayhi min al-laban ma sha'a Allahu an yudirra. I barely latched him on my chest, and there was an instant gush of milk in my chest. There was an instant gush of milk in my chest. Alqamtuhu thadyi. Hatta shariba al-ghulamu. Thumma rawiya. He drank till he was saturated. He drank till he was saturated. Thumma shariba akhuhu hatta rawiya. Generally, when the second child comes, the first gets deprived. Here the second one came, she said, because of him, my child that was deprived, he also got milk now. Now my brother Halima put my Nabi to her chest, and milk gushed into her cheek, into her chest. I ask you to latch the deen of my Nabi to your chest today. That which the world has shunned. I'm asking you, take this deen and put it on your chest. Put it on your bosom. Hold it and hug it. Embrace it and cuddle it. And then you will see the wisdom that will gush in your chest. You will see the barakat that will come in your family. You will see the tranquility that will descend in your marriage. You will see the prosperity in your business. She says, I'm still trying to comprehend. I only latch him on. Where milk comes from, only Allah knows. Because he drank and he was saturated, so did my son. Nama. They could sleep. When they slept, it gave me time to sleep. Otherwise, we could not sleep. Both myself and my husband, the first night we could nap. We had a quick nap and we had 40 wings, we slept. My husband got up, حانت من زوجي التفاتة إلى ناقتنا المسنة العجفاء. When he wakes up and he glances and his gaze falls on the camel, to our utter surprise, the udders are brimming with milk. Without grazing the animal, you tell me your car gets full without filling up. Yeah, you fill up and then it's still empty. The one brother we're traveling now, you know, it's on E. So I told him, let's fill up. He said, no, Molana, E means enough. I said, well, then F means finish. حانت من زوجي التفاتة إلى ناقتنا المسنة العجفاء. He glances to the udders of that camel. فَإِذَا ضَرْعَا حَافِلَانِ مُمْتَلِئَانِ. The udders are brimming with milk. قام إليها دهشاً. He stands up in absolute shock. Now, you know, the Muslim of today is still following the perception of tatama chance, tatama million. You see the compulsive gamblers. There was an article in the Star 2 weeks ago. I read it, explaining the extent of compulsive gamblers, that many gamblers, in their crave to secure and to win, actually wear adult diapers so that they don't have to relieve themselves. This was in the Star 2 weeks ago. In that engrossment and engagement, so entrenched and so gripped, that I must not shift my gaze for a minute, that I don't have to respond to the call of nature wearing adult diapers so that I can play throughout the time. I hope, my brother, the angel of death doesn't visit you in that club and that casino and those dens. Pick my Nabi up, pick his deen up, and you see divine barakah. Losers know when to stop. Matured, what, gamble in a matured way. He says, I couldn't believe my eyes. قَامَ إِلَيْهَا دَهِشًا. The words of the riwayat, وَهُوَ لَا يُصَدِّقُ عَيْنَيْهِ. Am I seeing right? Am I seeing correct? Because for all the days we couldn't milk, for months we were not milking. فَحَلَبَ. He starts milking. ثُمَّ شَرِبَ. He drinks. ثُمَّ حَلَبَ لِي. Halima says, then he milks for me. فَشَرِبْتُ. I drank. حَتَّى امْتَلَأْنَا رِيًّا وَشِبْعًا. We both were saturated. We were well nourished. We had a pleasant sleep. We had a good meal. فَبِتْنَا فِي خَيْرِ لَيْلَى. And that was the greatest sleep I had in my whole life. That was the greatest sleep I had in my whole life. Now what I'm saying is, she's not tackling the problems individually. She's not taking the camel and now looking for good pastures, now start grazing it there. Now let me, what, nowadays there's a lot of doctors here, fertility, let me take this tablet, it will stimulate milk. No. She has only picked up my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and everything has now come into place. That's all my message to you today is, my brother. Pick this deen up and leave the rest to Allah. Ya abdi anta turidu wa ana uridu wa la yakunu illa ma urid. Oh my servant, you have a host of desires. And so do I have certain requests. You know ultimately that happens what I say. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah says, you know, it's subject to my approval. It's subject to my, okay, if I don't tick, it doesn't happen. So do what I tell you, and I'll do what you say. كَفَيْتُكَ فِي مَا تُرِيدْ. Anyway, we spend the night in Makkah. فَلَمَّا أَصْبَحْنَا. When it was the break of dawn, and we awoken from our sleep, my husband came to me, and he tapped me. And he said, Ya Halimatu, atadirina annaki qad zafarti bitiflin mubarak. Halima, you know what? I think we've struck a luck. Halima, I think we really hit a bargain. So I said, you're quite right. Innahu laka dhalik. It looks like that. Wa inni la arju minhu khayran kathira. And I think our du'as have been accepted, and this is a beginning of many good that is to follow. So we are still, like, you know, in limbo. We are still trying to digest what is happening. There is a degree of uncertainty in how rapidly things are positively unfolded. We decide to leave Makkah with the entire group and the caravan. Now what happens? حَمَلْتُهُ مَعِي عَلَيْهَا. I told my husband, I'm carrying this Muhammad, you carry our child. You can carry him. This is it, my brother. Wallah, today you don't want this deen of my Nabi. And you have a problem with interest. But when you will see the barakat of getting rid of interest from your business, you won't want to eat at the house of someone who consumes interest. Today, my sister, you shun your hijab. Today, my sister, you openly, arrogantly unveil yourself. But when you will see the beauty of modesty, you won't unveil yourself before a doctor for medical reasons. This woman who said, I picked him up because I found no one. When it was time to return, I told my husband, you take our son. I carry Muhammad, he doesn't leave me. You haven't tasted it. So that is why you're saying what you're saying. When you will abandon interest and you will see happiness in your life, you won't want to eat at the house of someone who consumes interest. You'll give your life, but you won't touch a gift with interest. I know the calamities and the miseries that has brought to my life. She said, I picked up this child. I mounted onto my donkey. Madat nashita. Tataqaddamu dawab al-qawmi jami'a. Hatta ma yalhaqu biha ayyun min dawabbihim. Now what they say, turbo fuel. I mounted onto my conveyance. It moved at such a swift pace that nobody in the entire tribe, in the entire group could come close to me, never mind surpass me. Imagine, my brother, if my 94 Mercedes puts your S-Class away. It won't happen, you don't have to worry. Or your Hummer. Hummer is coming. Or your Chrysler. She says, فَجَعَلَتْ بَنُوا قَوْمِي يَقُلْنَ لِي. The people from my tribe are saying, وَيْحَكِ يَبْنَةَ أَبِي ذُعَيْبِ تَمَهَلِي عَلَيْنَا. Oh, the daughter of Abu Dhu'ayb, oh Halima, stop, stop, go slowly. We also with you. When she came, nobody wanted to look at her. She says, we were left out. Our camel was weak, our donkey was lean. Nobody gave a second glance. Now suddenly there is such a movement, such a pace, such a gallop, such a trot, such an advancement, that they yelling out to me, wait, oh Halima, wait. Then somebody comes to me and says, أَلَيْسَتْ هَذِهِ أَتَانَاكِ الْمُسِنَّةِ الَّتِي خَرَجْتُمْ عَلَيْهَا. Is this the same donkey on which you came? Or is this another one? قُلْتُ إِنَّهَا لَهِيَ. I said, it's the same one. They all said, وَاللَّهِ إِنَّ لَهَا لَشَأْنًا. وَاللَّهِ إِنَّ لَهَا لَشَأْنًا. You must tell me where you fill up. What did you do? What do you feed? I said, I don't know. It's not me. It's not the rider, it's not the conveyance, it's the passenger. It's the passenger. It's the passenger that has done everything. And he is only 8 days old. Wallah, Mi'raj was one miracle in his life. Everything in the life of my Nabi was a miracle. Nay, those that came into contact with him, their life became miraculous. Leave alone how miraculous his Mi'raj was. Mi'raj was one incident. Tap him and your life will become miraculous. ثُمَّ قَدِمْنَا مَنَازِلَنَا بِلَادَ بَنِي سَعْدٍ ثُمَّ قَدِمْنَا مَنَازِلَنَا بِلَادَ بَنِي سَعْدٍ. Then we moved till finally we returned back to our location. I was the first to arrive. وَمَا أَعْلَمُ أَرْضًا مِّنْ أَرْضِ اللَّهِ أَشَدَّ قَحْتًا مِّنْهَا وَلَا أَقْصَى جَدْبًا. While there was general famine and overall drought, however, our location where I dwell was the worst hit. Our tribe, our locality, we were the worst hit. We suffered the most. We got the worst end of it. However, جَعَلَتْ غَنَمَنَا تَغْدُو مَعَ كُلِّ صَبَاحٍ. There was no meadows, there was no pastures, there was no place to graze because there was no grass, there was no rain. But believe it or not, Halima says, my animals would go out in the morning grazing, and by the evening they would return. فَنَحْلِبُ مِنْهَا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ أَن نَحْلِبْ وَنَشْرَبُ مِنْ لَبَنِهَا مَا طَابَ لَنَا أَن نَشْرَبْ. We would milk from every animal, and we would drink as much as we wanted. And وَمَا يَحْلِبُ أَحَدٌ غَيْرُنَا مِنْ غَنَمِهِ قَطْرًا. Besides us, from the entire locality, the animals would graze longer, but they wouldn't get a drop of milk. We were the only one that could milk. Nobody else got milk. Now you know the human mind. So what happened? فَجَعَلَ بَنُوا قَوْمِي يَقُولُونَ لِرُعْيَانِهِمْ. So all the people in the locality, they started putting stress on the shepherds. And they said, yeah, you must follow the shepherd of this Halima. See where she's taking, where he's taking his flock. You people don't know how to graze. The problem is you open the shop in the wrong mall. That's the human mind. It hasn't got to do with the mall. It hasn't got to do with marketing. That's the mentality. So when Aad was destroyed with the winds, سَخَّرَهَا عَلَيْهِمْ سَبْعَ لَيَالٍ سَخَّرَهَا عَلَيْهِمْ سَبْعَ لَيَالٍ وَثَمَانِيَةَ أَيَّامٍ. So Thamud came thereafter. Now look at the mentality. Thamud said, Aad was destroyed not for divine, not for violating. They had not taken adequate measures to fortify themselves. So my friend, you got AIDS because why? You don't take precautions. You don't take precautions. So what they said, we will fortify ourselves and we will build in the mountains. As if Allah doesn't have access to the mountains. So what they started telling their shepherds, وَيْلَكُمْ woe be to you. إِسْرَحُوا بِغَنَمِكُمْ حَيْثُ يَسْرَحُ رَاعِي بِنْتَ أَبِي ذُعَيْبٍ. So Halima said, never mind me becoming famous. My animals became famous. My shepherd came onto the map. Everybody said, where is that Halima shepherd man? How are you, salamu alaikum, how are you keeping man? People started greeting my shepherd. My brother, you take this deen. Allah will give such fame and honor and recognition. And that's, by the way, that's not the motivating factor. Salih Muzani said, wallah, ilm gave me this honor. Otherwise, if it wasn't for ilm, who would knock my door? And now even the kings are knocking my door. That is why it is mentioned, the scholars say, the worst alim, the worst ruler is that, the worst scholar is the one who goes to the kings. And the best king is the one who visits and frequents the doors of the scholars. So a scholar should not be visiting the rulers and the emperors, but the wealthy and the affluent should believe it their honor and their privilege to visit the doors of the learned. Then there will be prosperity. He said, if it wasn't for knowledge, where would they come and knock my door? People started saluting my shepherd. Early morning, Halima said, all the shepherds line up with their flock, waiting outside my door. When Halima's shepherd will come out, then everybody will follow. The words of the kitab, حَتَّى صَارُوا يَسْرَحُونَ بِأَغْنَامِهِمْ وَرَاءَ غَنَمِنَا غَيْرَ أَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا يَعُودُونَ بِهَا وَهِيَ جَائِعَ مَا تَرْشَحُ لَهُمْ بِقَطْرَةٍ مِّن لَبَنْ. They will leave in the morning, passionately follow him, diligently target him, come there, locate where he would stay, they would halt. Then they would send the animals to graze in that very same area. However, my shepherd would return when the animals are brimming with milk, and they did not get one drop of milk from the animals. Halima says, لَمْ نَزَلْ نَتَلَقَّى مِنَ اللَّهِ الْخَيْرِ وَالْبَرَكَةِ. I cannot tell you, every day opened up a new chapter of blessings and tranquility, happiness and prosperity, till 2 years in this manner elapsed. We were actually hoping that these 2 years take long. We were hoping that these 2 years take long. Finally, when 2 years had lapsed, another thing. During these 2 years, yanmu numuwan la yushbihu numuwa aqranihi, the child that we had, that was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, while he brought barakat to us, he grew up to be the healthiest of all the other children that were brought. So many of the other women were afraid how to go back. We're going to collect money, but the child didn't grow up well. Now again, how do you face the mother? Our child was the healthiest child. Our child was the most well-nourished, well-dressed, well-fed child. مَا كَادَ يُتِمُّ سَنَتَيْهِ حَتَّى غَدَى غُلَامًا قَوِيًّا مُكْتَمِلًا. He was a healthy, you know, nowadays, courtesy of baby city. You look at your phone, we're pleased to announce Muhammad and Fatima, the new arrival, request for duas. Immediately you get a picture there and, you know, whatever else. She says, our child was the healthiest. 2 years had ended. Myself and my husband, we started discussing, we have to keep this child back. How do we convince the mother? Now we know suckling the child for 2 years, the Quran speaks about it. وَعَلَى الْوَالِدَاتِ وَعَلَى الْوَالِدَاتِ يُرْضِعْنَ أَوْلَادَهُنَّ حَوْلَيْنِ كَامِلَيْنِ لِمَنْ أَرَادَ أَن يُتِمَّ الرَّضَاعَةَ. The strongest bond is between a nursing mother and a nursing child. And that's a unique bond. And that bond is something that cannot possibly really can be likened to anything else. Unfortunately, today it has been substituted by nannies and substituted by expressing milk and by a host of things. But remember, it's just not nursing the child, it's the bonding with the child that happens. She says, we decided to come back and everybody else from the tribe also comes. Now what happens? Other people from the locality, Halima, you must introduce me to this woman. Has this child got any brothers or anything? Let us know, Halima. You know what? My sister also is looking. Halima, let us know if there's anyone else also. قَدِمْنَا بِهِ عَلَىٰ أُمِّ وَنَحْنُ أَحْرَسُ مَا نَكُونُ عَلَىٰ مَكْثِهِ عِنْدَنَا. We passionate to prolong his stay. And we come back. So anyway, I went to the mother. And I spoke to the mother. And I said, لَيْتَكِ تَتْرُكِينَ بُنَيَّ عِنْدِي حَتَّى يَزْدَادَ فُتُوَّةً وَقُوَّةً مَنْ هُمَانِ لَا يَشْبَعَانَ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the crave and the greed of two never ends. One is wealth and one is deen. Just as unfortunately we have an unending crave for wealth, may Allah substitute it by the zeal for deen. When we have that, you know, we haven't yet acquired the taste. You know, sometimes you, but this thing is bitter. He says, no, you must acquire the taste. You must acquire the taste. It's a matter of time, Maulana. Alright, okay. Acquire the taste. When you acquire the taste, then you'll know what it is. Once you've acquired the taste, then you keep it with you even in your traveling pouch.
Syntech CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.